Hey everyone, welcome to the Plus Platoon. We're a Disney Plus fan podcast that gives honest, spoiler-filled reviews of movies and shows on Disney Plus. We'll look at new releases, coming attractions, and we'll even go back into the vault to revisit some of the classic Disney that's on the platform. Make sure you're subscribed and you will never miss a moment. This week I'm going to bring in Pete. Pete, good to see you this week.
Hey, how's it going?
I can't wait
to go to the mall.
I don't know. Wow, that was menacing. Steve this week. Steve, how you doing? Yeah, I know. Shake the head at us. I get it. I get that a lot.
No, I'm doing well. I'm glad to be here.
If you have not already, please like, subscribe, share. We got some fun shows coming up, and we're going to be looking at a bunch of new stuff coming up, but we'll also be hitting some. Next week's going to be a deep dive way deep into the vault, literally deep. So, but this week, with the coming of the Darth Maul series, we decided we need to go back to the original appearance of Darth Maul. And we watched Star Wars Phantom Menace. This is episode one. This is with Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon Jinn. Obi-Wan before he was officially a knight. They're trying to protect Elizabeth Swan and, oh, sorry. Keira Knightley was the queen when it was not Natalie Portman. It was Keira Knightley.
Yeah, she was one of the handmaidens.
In her first movie role, I believe.
I think so, yes.
So, but... this is Anakin is the little boy. You've got the pod racing. You've got Palpatine as just a Senator Palpatine. Then he becomes Chancellor Palpatine. We don't know that he's the bad guy. Oh, sorry. Spoiler alert. We don't know that he's the bad guy. We have Darth Maul. Qui-Gon Jinn dies. Darth Maul gets cut in half and falls down the shaft. What we think is dead. We will get to that here in a little bit. Obi-Wan goes on. He agrees to train Anakin because he will be the one to bring balance to the Force. And there's the crushing on Natalie Portman, which is a lot creepy. But it's Phantom Menace. If you guys haven't seen it, I'm not sure what rock you've been living under, and luckily for the last 30 years or so. But I'm going to start with this one. What, if anything, in this used the Force for good? Steve, I'll start with you on this one because
it's hard. I know when I first saw this in the theater, it was the special effects, the CGI, was quite impressive. Watching it back now, annoyed me greatly. And I think it's because there's been so much advancements, it sort of distracted from the film at times. What did I like? There was not much I liked about it, actually, watching it back. It took me like three sit-throughs to get through the entire movie. So,
okay.
I'm going to leave it at that.
For me, it was obviously you've got the pod racing scene, which is a lot of fun. You're right. This was the first experience that a lot of us had with a truly a movie with this much CGI in it. Even more than, because Jurassic Park had just the dinosaurs, but this was backgrounds, everything. Ewan McClellan said most of his movie was walk through the door and look up. Yeah, there was so much CGI. It was to the point of they only built the sets to the tops of the actors' heads, and then the rest was computers. And the fact that Liam Neeson was so tall cost him about an extra $200,000 because they had to build the sets that much higher. You're right, Steve. I will agree, and I'll just say this now. Yeah, the CGI right now annoyed me. I remember annoying me a little bit back then, but the pod racing was the trench fight of this. Yeah, I'd say that was probably for me the main thing that was nice. Pete, anything else that you enjoyed?
So I'm going to be a slight defender of this movie. I think there's good things in it. I agree with you on the pod race. I think the other thing with the pod race is I remember I would kind of use this as a demo for my home theater. Like when I would have people over, I used to have a home theater in the basement, and the audio in the pod race, the way that each of the pods has a different sound and the phenomenal thrumming, and it's just both visually and auditorially. I don't know if that's the right word.
Yeah, it is.
It's just a very impressive, it's still impressive. And at the time it was very, very impressive. I would also say the end sequence where you have the best part about the end sequence, 100%, is the battle, probably still one of the top three lightsaber duels, in my opinion, between Qui-Gon, Darth Maul and Obi-Wan Kenobi, much better than the one in the next movie, Attack of the Clones, at the end of the Attack of the Clones. That one is
that one good. That one's bad.
That one's genuinely bad.
Which one is that? That's Obi-Wan and who?
Well, it's Obi-Wan and Dooku and Anakin. But Dooku is
away, right?
What?
Dooku gets away in that one? Or does Dooku die in that one?
Yes, no, Dooku gets away in that one.
Yeah.
But then Yoda comes out and does his little flippy. So I generally think this lightsaber duel is really good. And I actually think it kind of works intercutting with the Gungans and the battle with the Gungans, the invasion of Naboo, and then...
Right.
The one part I kind of can't stand is Anakin
in space,
somehow accidentally blowing up a ship. But like overall, that end sequence is actually very good. So I would say like the last like 45 minutes of this movie is pretty good,
except for like the last 2 minutes. The parade scene is terrible.
It's corny.
How did he grow that rat tail so fast?
Oh, it's a clip-on.
Well, no kidding.
No, they have clip. They gave them the Padawans when they join. They got a clip on the rat tail. That's canon, man.
I thought it was the weave.
I don't know.
Yeah,
it is impressive though.
Okay. And I will say there are sections that set up the story very well. The sections that move the story forward, like the sections on Tatooine, I think actually work for the most part. You get rid of annoying C-3PO. But other than that, I think the scenes on Tatooine work. We never hear from his mother again, do we?
No, she comes back in the second movie.
Does she? Okay.
Yeah, that's his first like turn to the dark side, because
she dies.
She died. Yeah, she gets kidnapped by the sand people and they kill her, so he goes all Darth Vader on the sand people.
Yeah. So
which they don't show us.
Gotcha. All right. So okay. So if that's what we saw as the good, what about this was truly a menace? And you cannot say Jar Jar. Jar Jar is a known quantity. What else just did not work for you at all? And Pete, I'll let you start this one.
It's very boring. This movie for like the first hour and 20 minutes is like, it's like political machinations and even at the time watching it was kind of like, you know, this might have worked in a novel, but like, I don't know, George, this is like, this isn't what we wanted from our space movie. I don't know. let's talk about the Trade Federation and the, you know, and I, the one thing I like to give credit to for George Lucas is he really pulled the rug on what was set up in the original trilogy, in that you thought, oh, the Jedi were the hero of the Clone Wars, and they, you know, they protected the galaxy and everything like that. And they did this twist where, like, oh, they're on the wrong side. They're on the side of the clones, and they're on the wrong side, you know. And I don't think it was done as well as many of us would have liked, but I thought that that was very clever. And this movie tries to set that up with that. There's, you know, Palpatine is, and again, you're right, they play this movie like we don't know that Palpatine is evil. Right. And, you know, that's great if you've never seen any of the other movies, but
in the original trilogy, do they ever say the name Palpatine?
In the original trilogy, they do not.
So, but therefore, you don't 100% necessarily know.
No, if you are a very casual Star Wars fan, I suppose you could be surprised by it. They pretty much said it in like novels and things like that.
Oh yeah, But I'm just thinking, if you had only watched 4, 5, and 6, they never actually said the name Palpatine in the
just call him the Emperor.
More than super just casual fans understand that, you know, that was Palpatine and he was the bad guy. But
one of the things I remember about watching this movie is like watching it and being like, are they seriously trying to play it like we don't know this is the bad guy? Because that's, you know, I was like, this is clearly the bad guy. Right? But yeah, so there, overall, it's not, it's a okay movie with some really good stuff in it, I guess, in my opinion. So Steve, what about you? What didn't work?
I'm like you. Growing up with the middle trilogies, I wanted more of that feel of action, and we got political drama throughout the movie. The other big thing that bothered me was the dialogue. It was so bad. It was just this stilted, like, from multiple characters, just drove me crazy. And then I'd also say, just the how it was edited, the how it jumped, it seemed like no scene was very long before it jumped to something else, sort of jumped back and forth. I'd say those are my two biggest things. I wanted a little bit more action. And actually, Jar Jar did not bother me. I mean, he's annoying, but I could live with Jar Jar.
I'll say no more than most of our students.
So, yeah.
Ooh, 6-7. Oh.
Okay. In related news, we are looking for a new member of the Plus Platoon now because Pete just crossed one of the lines.
I'm sorry.
Uh-huh.
I was just doing Jar Jar as a student.
For me,
It's fascinating that there's like some really extensive documentaries about behind the scenes of this movie, and even like the one we watched about ILM, like they were so convinced that Jar Jar everybody was gonna love Jar Jar. Like everyone was convinced of that, and it really is. I mean, as you say, I don't think it's as bad as it was treated. But it's
not good.
Yeah. So Lucas, you know, he came out and he said, well, these movies are for kids. I made the first movies for kids. These movies are for kids. And I think that, like, yes, a lot of us grew up with Star Wars and we were kids, but a good movie like that still works for adults. And there's a lot of stuff in this movie that only works for kids, and Jar Jar is one of those things. So anyways, what about you? What did you think was a menace?
For me, honestly, for me, it was a lot of the poorly done early fan service. There was enough, it's almost, oh, that's that, and that's that, and that's, and it's one of those where I get that movies that are coming back after so long, basically every movie does it. Every movie that comes back after 20, 30 years, there's some fan service because you got to try and make your base happy. But C-3PO for me was a total mess.
Yeah.
Honestly, having R2 in the prequels was a mess for me for the most part. Mainly because they wipe 3PO's memory, but they don't wipe R2's memory.
Right.
Did anyone else catch that one of the other people who was up for Supreme Chancellor was Bail Organa?
Yeah. Yeah.
I had forgotten that part.
Yeah.
How things would have turned out differently.
Right. Yeah.
But it's just, for the most part, this movie for me was just a, you're right, there were the boring parts, of the, especially the trade talk and the whole Trade Federation, just, especially because you never hear anything about it again. For it being supposedly the big bads of the group, and you never hear from them again. I mean, it just doesn't.
Well, the Trade Federation is still the bad guys in the Clone Wars and everything, but it ends up that Palpatine is controlling them too.
Well,
so
you very much got that from this.
Oops, sorry.
So, but it's just this movie was just kind of a. There were sections I might, if it's on TV, watch again. Type thing, like if they're coming across the pod race. To be honest, I'll watch the pod race before I'll watch the scenes in the fight scenes in the palace did not work for me. I'm sorry, the bat grappling hook where they all go up. Really? It's just you've talked to me about all of these different trade treaties. What's the new treaty that they form? What I mean, does that make sense? Do we ever hear what happens to those two specific? And did anyone else think they looked a whole lot like monsters? And like, anyone remember the movie Spaced Invaders?
Oh God,
yeah.
The had a similar look to those. Oh, and guys, those of you watching at home, not a good movie. Not a good movie. All think bad 90s camp space movie. So, but I know just for the most part, this movie did not work for me. So at the end of this, we see Darth Maul get cut in half, fall down the shaft. Okay. As we know now, and as we've actually found out in Solo, the Han Solo movie, Darth Maul has survived. Okay.
Yeah.
And
deep dive fans knew it before then, but that's right. The first time we see it in live action, right?
Right. But he is now back in a series. So what, since the slice and fall, mm-hmm. Pete, you as our resident, the person who's watched all the animated stuff, right. What has happened with Darth Maul since the slice?
So quite a lot, actually. He ends up coming back in Clone Wars is the next time we see him. So that takes place between episode 2 and 3. He's kind of like, they find him and he's like feral on it. He's been like, his top half has been reattached to like a robot. And, he's very feral and not even making sense or able to speak. They end up like taking him back to his home planet and he gets like treatments or whatever. And he ends up getting back to rationality. And he ends up basically pissed off at Palpatine. But he like ends up trying to form like a smuggler's union. He takes over a bunch of like mob. So think of like Jabba the Hutt as like a mob leader. He kind of becomes like that type of thing. He ends up taking over the planet Mandalore for the what you think about the Mandalorians, and he helps start a war there. What? That's a question. You're muted.
Is that before or after they get bombed?
Before they get bombed. He ends up fighting in Clone Wars. I remember he ends up fighting Palpatine, and there's with Ahsoka. He basically tries to convert Ahsoka to the dark side and to be his apprentice. And there's a lot of really bad stuff in Clone Wars, but the sequence of like four or five episodes that ends with like Palpatine basically being like Thanos, where he's like, that's it, I gotta take care of it, and he flies to the planet and takes out Maul, is really, really good stuff. But then he gets kicked off Mandalore, but then he gets in with the Crimson Dawn, which is another cartel, and that's where we see him in Solo.
Yes.
So I think this series, from what I see, also takes place after Revenge of the Sith. So the Clone Wars movie, TV show, takes place between Clone Wars, or sorry, Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith. Solo takes place obviously after Revenge of the Sith, during the Age of the Empire. This series also takes place during the Age of the Empire. So this series is going to be shortly after the Empire has been formed. And I think it's Darth Maul forming his cartel of criminals is the impression I've gotten from what I haven't actually started watching it yet. But that's what the impression I get. Darth Maul is going to make it through this series because he also appears in Rebels, which is right before A New Hope. And in Rebels, he actually is killed by Obi-Wan Kenobi. Supposedly in Rebels is when he dies, but this takes place before that. So
okay.
I guess we'll see. I did hear they've already renewed it for a second season. So, I guess whoever does these things likes the series. A lot of the Star Wars, I mean, to me, Star Wars animated series are like, you know, next level of nerddom. like you have the movies, then you have the TV shows, and then you have like the animated series. And some of them are very good, but like mostly they're not necessary. And most of Maul's story has all been in the animated, right? He's in this movie, and then he shows up for 20 seconds at the end of Solo. And that's the only live action Darth Maul at all. Nothing in TV series, nothing anywhere. So it's all been in the animated series. I'm looking forward to this. I know Gina's looking forward to this. Again, casual fans, the animated shows tend to be a hard sell. So, you know, I don't know. So anyways, Darth Maul is basically, he's a bad guy, but his interests sometimes side with the good guys. And so, like, there was parts there in Clone Wars where he was working with, Ahsoka, and then there was parts in Clone Wars where he was against the Jedi. So he's a guy on his own, and again, he wants revenge against people. Is kind of his thing.
How does that work with the rule of two for the Sith? Is he no longer Sith?
He's not really a Sith anymore, right? He's killed in this movie, he's no longer the apprentice.
Okay.
So and the rule of two is generally like, you know, master and apprentice, right?
Right.
So he is trying to recruit, you know, he tries to recruit Ahsoka as an apprentice. So it is possible. I don't know. In the series, he might do the same thing and still be trying to get an apprentice. But
okay,
he's not really a Sith anymore. He's just
okay,
a bad guy.
Gotcha. So, any other thoughts on Phantom Menace? This was George Lucas's. This was the first thing he had directed since Episode IV. He had been all producing between the two.
Right.
So has he done anything since?
He directed all three of the
sequels. Did all 1, 2, and 3. And
yeah.
Yeah.
And no, I don't think.
I would say, I remember when this first came out of like the poster with Anakin and Darth Vader's shadow.
Mm-hmm.
Of wanting more of the Darth Vader story. And really, this is not a story about really Darth Vader at all. Like, there's a small little bit, but it's not the focus. So, like, I felt like I started getting this misled on what it was really about.
Yeah, I think there was a failure here with that character. That one, I think he was too young, which as Derek pointed out, kind of made it awkward that he was like kind of crushing on Natalie Portman. But, you know, and then so then in the subsequent one, it's like, okay, he's older now, but he's like way younger than her. And he's still a teenager, I think, in the next movie when he like falls in love with her. But I think that, as you said, I think you needed more of a sense of, why is this guy going to turn to the dark side? And right. By not putting that in this movie, it left it to be kind of rushed in the two other movies. That, you know, I mean, they finally showed some of that in the second movie, but I think if they had showed some here, you would have gotten a little more of, maybe see that he like beats up one of his competitors or just something that like he's got a temper. I mean, you watch this movie and like there's no reason to think this kid is gonna be he spends this whole movie the most happy-go-lucky kid.
He feels cold. And then so we go from this kid to I've killed younglings. Okay.
I hate sand.
Yeah.
Coarse and dark and gets everywhere.
Well, that's
it's coarse and rough. Sorry, it's coarse and rough, and it gets that's my favorite. It's my favorite line in all of Star Wars.
He's not wrong.
I use it all the time. When I go to the beach, I go, oh, I hate sand.
No. Okay, so as we always do, we do Cups of Pixie Dust out of 5. So for Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace, Cups of Pixie Dust, Steve.
2. I'd say originally when I saw it, I would have been at a 3, but after this rewatch, a 2. A solid 2.
I give it a 2.5. I don't think it's the worst movie of the sequel prequel trilogy. Believe it or not.
What is 2?
2 is I think I mentioned, well, maybe it was off air. I've seen this movie and Attack of the Clones a lot because my daughter, you know, the generation younger than us did really like these movies, and my daughter was one of those. And, you know, she really watched this and Attack of the Clones a lot. And watching them repeatedly, I found Attack of the Clones to be unbearable. I really do not like that movie.
That's
so
one that, where they're like tied up to the posts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, is that the one where they go to the Wookiee world, or is
no?
That
that's in 3. 3. That's in 3.
Okay. Yeah. For me, it's a 2. As I said, there are slight moments of it's not by far not the worst thing we've watched lately, but it's not good.
No, and it's the thing. It's watchable, but it's not good. I totally agree with you.
So, no Disney Plus news this week, but. For next week, we are diving deep, deep, deep and way far into the vault for 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Derek, I was talking to somebody today, and I am not kidding. Less than 2 hours ago, I said, how is it we haven't done 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea?
Well, you can't say that after next week.
Awesome.
And this, and for the record, this is the 1950s Kirk Douglas classic, not the 19, what'd you say, Steve, 95, 90?
No, 2025, I think. It's recent.
Oh, no, it's that miniseries.
Yeah.
There's a series now, yeah.
Disney made and then let someone else show. Yeah. So, but I mean, this will be a whale of a tale for sure. So,
bit of warning, it's pretty long.
It's 2 hours long.
Yeah. Is that so, it?
2 hours and 2 hours and 5 minutes or something like that. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, that's not as bad as I thought.
No.
Because it feels like all 20,000 leagues.
Yeah. And for the record, 20,000 leagues is how far they travel under the sea, not how deep they go.
Correct. Yes. So you couldn't go 20,000 leagues deep.
No, you couldn't go 20,000 leagues deep. So, no matter if it's American or national. If you have other suggestions on what we should watch, please shoot us an email, plusplatoon@gmail.com. May is looking kind of sparse and the end of the summer, because again, not much has come out. At some point, we'll need to do Fire and Ash, I have a feeling. But other than that, there's not a ton coming. So shoot us suggestions. If there's a show you really want to get on and argue with us about, or something you love that you want us to tell you why you're either right or wrong, please email us at plusplatoon@gmail.com. Send us a message, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, anywhere. We will answer all messages and all suggestions. We have new episodes every Thursday on YouTube and all the major podcasting services. For Steve and Pete, Kate and Gina, we will see you guys later, and we will see everyone else next week. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Thanks for watching this week's episode of the Plus Platoon. Be sure to subscribe to the Plus Platoon podcast to keep getting great content each week. Then head over to Apple Podcasts and leave those 5-star reviews, as they help make the Plus Platoon visible to even more Disney Plus fans. Also, go to YouTube and like and subscribe to the Plus Platoon channel, where you can watch all future episodes live. If you have a question for the Plus Platoon, please send us an email to plusplatoon@gmail.com or connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at plusplatoon.
The Plus Platoon is a Disney Plus fan podcast and is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or the Disney Plus streaming service. All opinions expressed on the show are solely those of the individual hosts and in no way reflect the views of the Walt Disney Company.
Thanks for watching, and be sure to stay tuned for next week's episode, because the Plus Platoon is to be continued.